Morning. So we are in a series called Relation Slips, and we're talking about avoiding missteps in our most important relationships. And I keep saying at the beginning, this is not a marriage series, it's a relationship series. We're talking about all kinds of relationships, from friendships to coworkers to singleness to engagement and marriage and everything in between. The things that we're talking about cover the gamut of relationships, okay? Now, just to catch you up, if you haven't been with us, we talked about some pretty important things. We started talking about boundaries, that sometimes just relationships with difficult people, it's okay to create a healthy boundary. You can love from a distance, and that's okay. Some of you needed to learn that, right? Sometimes it's like, okay, I love you, but I'll love you over there, right? Like, it's okay. And that doesn't mean that I don't love you anymore. But there are times where difficult or toxic people, we continue to allow them in our lives. We allow their toxicity to control our lives. And that is not God's desire for you in that relationship, right? We've talked about expectations. If you guys remember a few weeks ago, I had a couple of boxes up here on stage, right? And I had these boxes that had to do with relationships, that we, all of us, in every relationship or in life, come with our box full of hopes, dreams, and desires, right? That there are things that we want to experience in life, and most of those things are not bad things. Some of them might be, but most of them are not bad things. But we were talking about how when we put all of our hopes, our dreams, our desires on another individual, we're setting them up for failure, because no one person can fulfill all of our hopes, dreams, and desires. And so we create relational expectations on others that set them up to fail you, right? And people do that over and over and over again. Maybe a relationship or a friendship, or it could even go the closer the relationships, I'd say the more deep we get with our expectations of those people, right? So if you get to a marriage relationship, it should be the closest one. That those are the ones that usually get the most dysfunctional, right? Because you know each other so well, and so you put all of your hopes, dreams, and desires on one person who's the closest to you, and they're going to let you down. And some people, when that happens, are like, well, you let me down so much, I'm out, right? I'm leaving. You're not handling my stuff well. And they leave, but they take that same box just to somebody else to set them up for failure over and over and over again, that repeat process. And so we talked about how our hopes, dreams, and desires, yeah, they're good. But the only person that knows them and knows the depth of who we are is God himself. He's the one that we bring those to. And we offer them to him. And we say, God, this is what I hope for in life. But it's up to you. And when we put those on God, we allow God to be the one that rules and leads and shepherds our life. Some of those may not come true in our life. Some of them might come true in our life. But now we're not putting it on so-and-so or our friendship or my workplace or whatever it might be. So if you missed that message, there was a lot of aha moments I saw across the room as we were going through that together. I try to give credit where credit is due, and a lot of the content we're talking about, I borrowed from Pastor Andy Stanley. He's a pastor I follow, and if you ever want a better preacher than me, watch him, all right? And you'll learn some awesome stuff from him. But a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, I learned from him, and so I'm excited to bring you some more good stuff this morning as we talk about this. Last week, I was grateful for Pastor Jim being here and leading in worship and teaching, and we started the conversation about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to continue in that, talking about love. Like, what is this chapter about? And we'll get there in just a minute. Actually, if you have your Bibles with you, you can pull out your Bibles, and you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we're going to be hanging out for the day in the New Testament. And if you don't have a Bible, we always say we have free Bibles on that table right on the other side of the wall. Grab one. It's yours. Take it home. Write your name in it. We want you to have a Bible. There's lots of apps you can download on your phones and tablets and all sorts of things. But we want you to be able to read the scriptures along with us as we dig into this. Now, with this, you know, whole idea, and we're talking about friendships, I mean, the real desire for all of us is to have happy relationships, right? It's that when we're in relationship with somebody, it's a happy experience. It's a good experience. That's all of our longing and all of our desire to have that. Some people go to very unhealthy lengths to try to get that. Some people will ignore real problems. It's interesting on Sunday mornings, you know, people come to church, and one thing I love about New Hope here is that we can all be real, and there's a healthy level of real, and it's funny. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher, and so Have you ever had those moments where you're on your way to church and the conversation in the car to church is louder than it should be? Anybody have one of those experiences where it's like mom and dad are yelling at each other and it's like, what is going on? And then you get to church like, hey, how's everybody doing this morning? Hey, you know, it's like they put the, all right, our families, look, we're perfect. You know, everything's good. And I grew up in a church like that. You had to look perfect. You had to play the part. And so everybody in church played the part. They had their spiritual mask on. And that was like, everything's good. Everything's great. I want to kill him. I want to kill her. But everything's great, you know. We'll talk after church, you know, that kind of thing. Anybody? All right. Thank you. I see that hand, right? Like, right. We've all had those moments, or our parents going to a parent-teacher conference, and because this last few weeks has been parent-teacher conferences, a lot of people are going to, like, you're having conversations about your kid on the way, and then you finally get with the teacher, oh, how's it? Oh, everything's great. Little Tommy's doing great. It's like, no, he's not. He's a jerk. He's been treating people in this classroom horribly, and we need to have a conversation about it, right? But no, little Tommy's perfect. Everything's good. Like, we try to cover up things that sometimes should not be covered up. We should be real, and we should get real about relationships. And honestly, and you can fill in the blank with this, this is what we're doing in the series. Like, to get real about my relationships, I have to get real with myself, right? I have to know who I am and what is going on inside of me and what my hopes, dreams, and expectations and what broken parts that are in me that causes things in relationships. Like, I need to know myself really well if I want to have happy and healthy relationships with other people. There's something funny. Every relationship you have, there's a common denominator. It's you, right? Like, we bring all of who we are to relationships, and whether that's good or whether that's bad. And we need to allow ourselves to get real with ourselves so that we can have healthy and happy and fulfilling relationships, whether that's a friendship or a marriage or a coworker relationship, whatever it might be. We have choices to make in that process. Today, we're going to talk about one of the most difficult choices in every relationship. It's a part of this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, so many people use this as the love chapter, more of like the romantic love chapter, and it became like the marriage chapter. You know, every wedding that I've done, it's like, oh, we love this. You know, we love this passage, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so if that's you and you used it, it's a good passage, but it is so much more than that. When you look at the chapters before and after, Paul was writing to this church in Corinth, and he's writing to the season in history where this whole kind of area that he was preaching to and writing these letters to, they were a culture that worshipped a lot of different gods, lowercase g gods, right? And all these lowercase g gods that all of them worship had different expectations on what they had to do to please that god. And so all this spiritual, relational stuff for them in that day was all vertical. And what I mean that is, like, they're trying to figure out how to have this thing with this lowercase g god that they worshipped, and it might be the god of fertility. And so there were certain things they had to do to please that god to get what they wanted, right? And does that still happen today? Yeah, it still happens today, right? And some of you treat the real God that way. Like, if I rub the spiritual lamp just right, I'll get this thing. And it's like, no. That's when we want to have the genie in the lamp, and we have this only this vertical expectation on God or a God that we're trying to get from. And so we got to do a specific thing. And that was the religion of the day. And that's still so many religions of the day. You know, it's like, I got to earn my way and prove myself so I can receive from. And then Paul is preaching to that culture, and he's saying, this living God, this Jesus we're preaching about, it's completely different. Because actually, his whole message is that he came down. His vertical was an ascent and a descent to us is what it was. He descended to us in our presence. And then he said, you're going to prove this by what you do horizontally. He's like, this God is saying, I loved you so much. And now what I'm saying, to prove my love in your life, now you love everybody, and you live into that love and what that looks like in community, then they will know you're my disciples. Then they will know you're following me. It was a radical idea. It still is today. It's a radical idea. Some Christians still get it wrong. You know, like, they still, like, it's only about this, and I got to get it right. And it's like, that's not it. It is a horizontal thing. when we learn to love the way we've been loved from our Heavenly Father to others, is when we start to walk as true disciples of Christ. And so when we see this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's in the middle of 12 and 14, and it's this story that he's writing and teaching the church, the Christ followers. This is what it looks like to be together, all relationships. This is what it needs to look like. And so when we get into this passage, I want us to just have that right lens on, okay? Is everybody with me? Okay. Because when you read it through that lens, it gets really heavy and really complicated when you read it. It's not all ooshy-gooshy romantic. It's like, ouch and whoa, can I do that, okay? So let's dig into this passage together, and we're going to pull out, actually, I'm pulling out two words, and that's the rest of the message, just two words of this bigger thing, because I don't want you to drown with the fire hose of what this is of love, of what he's telling us. But this one thing that we're talking about is a choice for every single one of us in this room. And I think it's the choice that determines a healthy relationship and an unhealthy one. I think it goes back even to the conversation of my hopes, dreams, and desires and putting those into relationship with other people. Okay? All right. So everybody with me? Okay. I'm with me too. So let's go. 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start in verse 4. Probably the most popular part of the passage. Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not dishonoring others. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. We're talking about love here. Like, these are complicated concepts, right? When we're talking about, okay, love is patient. I get that. If I love somebody, I'm going to be patient with them. Love is kind. So there's a sweet spirit about love to other people in relationship. It does not envy. Like, love doesn't say, I should have got what you got. Why did you get it and not me? That's not love. Love says, I'm glad you got what you got. Awesome. And celebrates others. And celebrates other successes or celebrates what God does in other people's lives, right? It doesn't envy. It's not envious of other people. It does not boast. And it is not proud. So there's nothing selfish about love. It's not about, look at me. I'm awesome. Don't you think? And have everybody agree with you, right? Like, that's boasting. That's pride. It does not dishonor others. Meaning it doesn't tear people down. It is not self-seeking, and it's not easily angered, right? So, like, love has a sense of patience with it that it's like, my fuse is really long with people, right? It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now it's like, hold up a minute, right? Anybody ever keep any record of wrongs of anybody else, right? That's a hard one now we're talking right here. That's the only one that I think we should read in weddings, right? Like, because it's like, okay, if you can get that one right, okay, everything else will be good. Like, we just have a habit of doing that. It's like, no, love says, you know what? That record erased. Forgiven? Yeah, I'm not bringing that back up again, right? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love is always about truth. And not like my truth versus your truth. It's like the truth, God's truth. Is what it delights in. Let's keep going. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. So now he just shoots off a list, you know? It's like, here's the complexity of love. And now here's some final ones. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and it perseveres. And as we read these last few, these feel good. Like if there's somebody that's loving me and showing love to me, I hope it's a protecting love, right? That they're there for me, they're going to fight on my behalf, or I'm going to fight on their behalf. Like, it's protecting. Hopes, that, you know, that just shows that there's a hopefulness. Like, things will continue to go and grow the right way. And perseverance means, well, we're probably going to go through some stuff, but we're going to keep pressing on, right? That's good. But the one that I think is the one that wrecks so many relationships and sets us up when we're looking at ourselves individually, in every relationship, this is the one that hurts, that creates divides the most. Always trusts. It's a big one. Because when you first read it, it's like, that sounds naive, doesn't it? Like, why would you always trust people? Because I know some people. You know, like why? How can you trust? How can love always trust? Like, always be like, okay, all right, we're good. Okay, I'm trusting. Okay. Like, how do we walk into that? How do we live into that? Here's the amazing thing about true love. And I'm not talking about ushy-gushy. I mean, just love in relationships. This kind of biblical love is that love always defaults to trust. Like, true love in its purest form will always default to trust in a relationship. It always will. That's what love does. Love always defaults to trust. In the Greek, this word trust in here, it means to believe, like it always believes, or thinks to be true, or is to be persuaded of, to place confidence in. Like, that's what it means to trust, right? It's to believe in the best. It's like, okay, I'm going to choose to trust in this relationship. Now, this one, again, I said, it's the hardest one when we're talking about love, because something happens in every single relationship, and this is what happens. We have an expectation, and then we actually have the experience of that relationship, right? That's what those boxes that we're talking about. We have an expectation of what this is going to look like, what our friendship, what our dating life, whatever it might be. I have an expectation of what this is going to be and what it's going to look like, but then I have a reality. This is my experience. And a lot of times, there is a large gap between what I expected and what I experienced in that relationship. The choice of trust, it depends on what we put in this gap, right? We all choose to put something in the gap of from our expectation to experience. And a lot of times, it might be this, right? If we assume the worst, if we have an expectation in that relationship and we assume the worst, well, the experience is going to be like, well, they proved me right. That was the worst. And some of us, that's how we go through life. We always walk with that gap, assuming the worst in that relationship. And that's the way we go, thing after thing after thing. But there's another option. We can believe the best, right? From our expectation to the experience that we have in their life, if there's a gap there, we can choose to believe the best. That's what love does. It defaults to trust. It defaults to believe the best in that person. Like when you think about situations and relationships, like maybe you work with somebody and you have an expectation and maybe that project isn't moving along the way it's supposed to move along. You choose what you put in the gap of that relationship. Are you going to assume the worst? Well, they're lying to me. They're not getting it done. They're just sitting and playing Minesweeper on their computer. Like, what's going on here, right? Like, you could go right to that, or you could assume the best. Something must have happened. I wonder what happened. I'm going to have a conversation and just see what's going on, right? You choose what you fill the gap in that relationship, right? Those who are married, your spouse comes home late, really late, and you have an expectation. You're supposed to be home at this time, and you weren't home at this time. What are you going to fill the gap? Are you going to assume the worst? What's going on here? Were they out drinking? Were they out gambling? Were they out with somebody else? And you can start playing up things. Were they like speeding, going too fast? They got in an accident? Well, that was stupid of them, right? And so, like, you can just assume the worst and blame them for it, right? Or you could fill in the gap with trust and believe the best. Well, something must have happened. I wonder what it was. And they're not answering the phone, but I hope they're okay. I can't wait to have a conversation and see what happened. But you're going to believe that whatever it was, there was a real explanation. And you're going to believe the best in that circumstance, in that situation. See, the problem with living a life where you continually distrust and assume the worst is that you become a prophet. When you assume the worst of other people, they will let you down. Your expectation of them letting you down will always come true because none of us are perfect. And to be honest with you, somebody who's living underneath the continual relationship where they're trying their best to meet expectations, but they know you're assuming the worst, they might just raise their hands and say, I give up. I might as well do the worst. That's what they think I'm going to do. And so you set up, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. in that situation. And so often what happens when we fill the gap with assuming the worst is that we are judging, and this is very tricky here, okay? We are judging thoughts and motives. And those are two very difficult things to judge, aren't they? Do we have any mind readers in the house? Right? If you are, teach me, please. Lord Jesus, my friendships and relationships would be so much better if I could read everybody's mind, you know? But it doesn't work that way. We learn how to, like, understand and listen and receive. And what are they trying to say when they're saying and they're speaking? And it takes work in relationships to get there. But the problem is we cannot always, no, typically, cannot judge motives and get into the minds and thoughts of other people. We can't do that. So what we do is we fill the gap, right? We fill the gap. Trust or distrust? Am I going to assume the worst or am I going to believe the best? See, here at New Hope, we have a value. And one of our values is relationships, authentic relationships. And for us, this matters. This is a part of who we are as a church. This is a part of the culture we want to create here as a church. That we want you to have real relationships, that you can really be yourself and be with other people and be accepted and loved in that circumstance and in relationship. And for us, this is what we say, with authentic relationships, we will pursue genuine friendships, meaning we will not be the church of masks. Like, I don't ever want to be that church. I know there's a difference between 100% transparency and authenticity, okay? Trust me, I'm not going to be completely transparent with you. Because there's things you don't need to know about, right? There's things that other people don't need to know about. But I can be authentic. This is kind of where I'm at. And this is me kind of being real right now. And so having genuine friendships is knowing that balance and having people you can be real with and maybe a few people you can be truly transparent with. Doesn't mean everybody, but those that are closest to you. We will pursue genuine friendships. We are going to choose. This is a very important word. This is a choice. We're going to choose trust over suspicion. Have any of you ever been in an environment or a culture or a workplace where the choice was always suspicion over trust? Where everybody assumed, oh, they're in it for themselves. Or they assumed, oh, they screwed up because they want to screw me up. Right? Like, that is a crappy place to be. Like, that is a horrible environment to live in. I've been in those environments, and I've been on staff in environments where it's like that, where it's like, so every word I have to be sure and be so careful about every single word, because they're all looking at suspicion in everything that I'm saying right now. And they're trying to mine out something so that they can attack. That's not love, is it? That's not love at all. That's pride, boasting, selfishness, not looking for the good, but that is looking for the evil. Like, it's the opposite of love. Instead, we're going to choose trust over suspicion, meaning I'm going to fill the gap with believing the best. And some of you are like, Tim, how do you do that with people? I'm going to believe the best until they prove me wrong. When I learned that there was a real experience that was off or wasn't right, then I can handle and have a conversation about that, right? But if I live in a way that says I'm going to choose to believe the best in every circumstance, it gives them the opportunity to live into the best, right? It gives that relationship an opportunity to actually heal and get better, because now they understand, I'm going to believe the best in you. A lot of times people will raise to the level of healthy expectations when we give them healthy expectations in our relationships. If they don't, and if they continue to break that and they continue to harm and hurt, now we're going back to the first sermon, which was maybe it's time to create a boundary, right? But for you, when we're talking about ourselves, we're going to choose to trust. We're going to choose to believe the best in the circumstance, in the situation, and whatever that gap is. And then we'll have a conversation. And then the last part of it is, and love people for who they are. This one's difficult too, right? I want to love people for who I think they should be. Anybody ever have that problem? I want to love you, but could you change a little? You know, like it'd be easier for me to love you if you were lovable by me. Like, so can we work on that? You know, it's like, no. We choose to trust over suspicion, and we choose to love people for who they are. Does that mean letting them live in dysfunction? Does that let them continue to hurt you over and over again? No, that's not what I'm saying. Our goal is to help people connect, grow, serve, and go, right? Our desire is for people to grow, meaning they don't come here, stay the same, and then leave. Like, you come here, you experience God, you grow and change. That's the expectation of God on all of us. But we meet everybody right where they're at, and we love them for who they are, okay? Can I get an amen for that one? Okay, because you experienced it here, and we continue to share that with other people. See, trust, when we choose trust over suspicion, this is what we're saying. See, trust is accepting me, right? Like, if you trust somebody, it's you saying, I accept you. Suspicion would be rejecting me. If you continually are suspicious over someone, it's you continually keeping your hand out to them. I reject you. I reject you. I push you away. I can't trust you. Over and over and over again, right? That's what suspicion does. It's easier to focus on what they said and did, typically, than who you are in the relationship. And low trust will always breed a lack of intimacy. High trust equals intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I'm not talking about sexual intimacy, okay? We so often, again, with the word love, we romanticize it, the word intimate or intimacy. We then take that to a sexual level. Intimacy is being fully known by somebody. Like, we have been given, and we sang about it and talked about it in the worship set earlier today, about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. That was the gift. When Jesus went, he said, Father, let's send the Holy Spirit in them. And the Holy Spirit is in us, intimately knows us. I mean, the Holy Spirit knows every part of us. I love that phrase, as the Holy Spirit is the lover of my soul. He knows me, every piece of me. And it's when we think about how can God trust the Holy Spirit in me, right? Like, I'm a sinner, I'm broken, I make mistakes. God's love shows trust by depositing the Holy Spirit in us so that we can have an intimate, a close, a fully known relationship with the Heavenly Father. Distrust will always breed a lack of intimacy. And you can write this down, next point, is that intimacy is a fearless reveal of who we really are. That's what intimacy is in relationships. It's a fearless reveal. To be totally open with somebody, it's like, here is all of who Tim is. All of my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my beings, my dreams, my hopes, everything inside of me. It's that complete reveal of who we really are, all that stuff inside of us. If you continually fill relationships with assuming the worst, you will never be able to be fully known or fully know somebody else. This is the breaking ground of marriage right here. This one. This is why so many marriages end. Because they can't get there. They protect themselves all the time. And they never let that down, and they fill the gap with suspicion. It was interesting reading this week about a psychologist. Her name is Dr. Sandra Murray, and she did a research study about marriages, and it fits with this whole idea of knowing each other really well, and what we fill the gap in. She did a study of 105 different couples over a century, like over a long period of time, and during this, they surveyed all the couples at the beginning of the experiment, and had them answer questionnaires about themselves in their marriage. And then about their spouse. So they had to rate their spouse. Anybody want to do that, right? And so then they just, let them live their lives, and then they came back like a decade later and had them come back, and they were looking for those marriages that were healthy and thriving. And so they put all these people back together. They came and they did this full study and another round of questionnaires for them to take on themselves. This is what I think about myself in my marriage, in my relationship, and this is what I think about my spouse in our marriage. And they were trying to figure out what is the difference between those who were kind of like, we have an okay marriage, to those at the end of this study that said, we have a really thriving, healthy marriage. And when we say thriving, like they love each other more than they did before. They show grace to one another, and they enjoy each other's presence, and And they're thriving in their marriage, right? And at first they assumed that as they went through this process that they were like the people who are the happiest in their marriage on the other end of the story, most likely they just kind of continually lowered their expectation, right, over the years. Like, well, can't expect that of them, can't expect that of them, can't expect. And just kind of like it got so low that they're like, we're good now, you know? But when they did the study, they found the exact opposite of healthy marriages. In the end of the study, frequently those that were healthy in their marriage and the relationship, as they did their surveys, they actually rated themselves in the marriage lower than their spouse rated them, meaning their spouse gave them higher ratings on all accounts than they did in their relationship, and they did that to each other. It's interesting, at the end of the study, what actually made their healthy or their marriages healthier and thriving was that they saw the best in each other more and more and more as they grew. It's interesting, when we fill the gap in relationships, and those of you who are married, the more we fill that gap with assuming the best, believing the best in the other person, that relationship will actually get better. Because when you do that to each other, you start trusting one another all the more. You start becoming more intimately known by each other. And that relationship grows and thrives. The conclusion actually at the end of that study was that, is this what it said? Find the most generous explanation for each other's behavior and believe it. That was the conclusion of that study. If you want a thriving marriage, believe the best about that person, right? Look for the best things in them and then just believe it and assume it every single time. And when you fill the gap like that, that's what happens. Relationships get healthier when you fill it with trust. Love always trusts. Love is the choice of filling the gap with believing the best in the other person. Got some roadblocks though, don't we? Here's two roadblocks that we wrestle with. With this whole idea, our experiences and who we are, right? The roadblocks to really trusting are our experiences. Let's just do a show of hands. Has anybody ever hurt you and caused you to not trust them? Just raise a hands all across. Anybody? All right. Welcome to the human experience, right? Like, some of us have had very close relationships that we had assumed, you know, and believed the best, but it ended up being the worst and way beyond what you thought it was. And so trust was gone, right? Some of us, when we see who we are, some of us have grown up and programmed our life and relationally to just always distrust. Like, no matter what it is, like, we're just always going to have that guard up. No matter who it is, we're just going to choose to, you have to prove. You have to prove it over and over and over again before I even start to trust you. And that's a backwards equation if we're talking about love, right? Love starts with trust and assumes and believes the best. But if it's proven wrong over and over and over again, then you create healthy boundaries in that relationship. But again, if we always assume the worst, we're always going to get what we assume, because we'll find something. Any nitpickers in the room? All right, no elbows, by the way. Like, none of this, all right? So our experiences and who we are huge roadblocks to us actually living this out in friendships, living this out in a church family. Like, those of you who are part of small groups here at New Hope, we say small groups matter because small groups is actually where church happens. Like, Sunday mornings, we're kind of sitting, you know, in a bigger room with a lot of people. And we're not even a giant church by any means, but if I say, hey, do you know so-and-so? A lot of times they're like, oh, no, I haven't met them. Well, they've been coming for like 4 years, and so have you. You know, like it's just natural in a bigger space like this, you're not going to know everybody. But when you get into a circle of like 10 or 15 people in a small group, you start to get to know each other. It's where actually this kind of stuff gets tested. Like, is this true? Can I live this out? And can we help each other live these things out that we're learning on Sundays? And that's the testing ground for things like this, like trusting some people and assuming the best. It happens in those smaller circles of relationship. That's why small groups are so important for us here at New Hope. But some of you have been so hurt so many times over and over and over again. You have a hard time doing two things. One, you have a hard time receiving love like that, because now you have deemed yourself unlovable, obviously, because this is how everybody's treated me. I need you to know that is a lie. That is a lie from Satan himself. And I'm sorry that so many people have hurt you. I'm sorry that the enemy has worked in ways to tear things apart. You need to know you're not alone. You need to understand you have a Heavenly Father who trusts you so much that he sent his Son to die for you, to prove his love for you. And he has other people, good people, who want to show that love to you. So often when we live that way and we feel that way and we kind of reject that, and then so we are suspicious of everybody all the time, we never truly get to be loved or love somebody else. And intimacy is like that's a long gone hope or dream. My prayer for you is that God would break that up. That you would find someone or some people that you could be in a smaller circle with to prove everyone else wrong, to show you truth about who God is and what love can really look like. Now, those people, they're not perfect still. They're still going to fail at times. But I'm praying for you that you would release that distrust to him and trust God with it. And trust God with it. Some of you have just been hurt, maybe not that deep, but you've been hurt enough that you walk around in life and you always assume the worst of other people. That's just how you operate. You just feel like everybody has to prove that they're okay with you, you know? I'll just need you to know, your life probably sucks. It does. Because you're probably pretty lonely. And if you continually assume the worst, what ends up happening is bitterness rules your life. Because you're assuming everybody's out to get you or against you. And so you just live with this antagonistic kind of mentality towards other people, that they're always looking to get you. So you have a hard time loving or celebrating good things in other people's life. You have a hard time receiving it. Like, it may be time for you to break that cycle. Maybe time for you to stop being such a prickly person, because your prickliness is your prophecy to what you'll experience in every other relationship the rest of your life. And that is not God's dream or desire for you. You can do something better than continue living and assuming the worst of people. Love chooses to trust. Love chooses to trust. It always hopes, protects, perseveres, and it always trusts. Don't live as a wounded victim. Rather, walk into with God as a relational victor. Okay? Because the alternative is not that great. Like, if you want some relational advice, maybe some of you have kids that they're getting older, or maybe you're in a season where it's like, okay, I'm getting closer in some relationships. Here's the alternative, all right? Always delight in uncovering mistakes. It thrives on speculation. It assumes the worst and it embraces doubt. Go forth, right? Like, that's the opposite. That's what some of us experience, right? Is this better, or is what God did for us better? Which one? I think it's what God did for us, loved us, and then said, this vertical relationship, now point it horizontally and just start loving people. Assuming the best, believing the best in other people. And as you believe the best, scientifically proven by psychological study, those relationships will get better. They just will. And if that person starts believing the best in you, it'll only get better and better and better. I think it's a great truth for us to walk into in this series, as we don't want to have relation slips filling the gap of the wrong thing. We want to have successful relationships and choosing to love the way we've been loved. God, thank you for this word this morning. It's a hard one, God, for us to hear. When we read this passage and read 1 Corinthians 13, and we see the depths and the difficulties and the complexities of what real love is. God, it's just hard. It's just hard. People have let us down, and hurts have been had, and experiences have, you know, have been in our lives that we so often fill the gap with the wrong things, and we end up hurting other people in the process. I'm praying for us right now, God. Would you speak to each of us this morning as we take this time to respond? We want you to speak. We want you to work. We want you to mine out the things that don't look like you in our hearts and lives, and so that we can bring them to you and be filled with the things that do look like you. And we know one thing that looks like you is love. It's love. I just want to take a few moments of just quiet, and kind of the lights are going to go down a little bit here, and we're just going to listen to God, okay? And you don't even have to look up here. Maybe you just want to bow your heads and kind of be still and let God speak. I just have a few questions for us to wrestle with this morning as we want to learn how to protect and trust and hope and persevere in relationships. In what relationships that you're in now do you always assume the worst? What are those relationships that you're living into right now? And are you assuming because of something you've experienced, or are you assuming it because they continually hurt you, right? There's a difference. But if it's something that you are bringing to the table that isn't warranted, would you be willing to bring that assumption to God this morning? To let him reverse that thought and to take it captive and make it obedient to his love? What expectations are you putting on others that are wrong? Like those expectations that will always set up others for failure. What are those expectations? Probably a deeper question for those that really wrestle with this one is answering this and letting God speak to you in this, okay? Just ask the Holy Spirit, show me what this is. What is it in you that causes you to not trust people or even trust God? What is that? Where does that come from? It's not from God. So where is it coming from? And for all of us in the room, how can you practically this week choose trust over suspicion? What relationship do you know? Maybe you answered earlier that you can now choose trust. What can you do practically today or this week to flip the script there and choose to trust and fill the gap with believing the best? Here's the good news. Here's the good news of the gospel. God believes the best in you. God sees the best in you. He adopted a son or daughter that has the best in them. And that's you. He loves you unconditionally. That is a good word for us. That's the gospel. Jesus sent his one and only son because he loves us to die on a cross, to pay our penalty of sin, to forgive us of our sins, and to offer us eternal life. That is what God did. Because he loves you. And some of you this morning may not know what that love really feels like or looks like. Maybe you haven't accepted that gospel into your life. You haven't invited Jesus to actually enter into your life to save you. And this morning, if you want to take that step, that's the beginning of God flipping the script of love in your heart, right? Is inviting him in. If you want to accept the gift of salvation and relationship with God, you can just ask him for it. It says, when you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and he died and rose again, you will be saved. You'll have a relationship. You'll receive that love into your heart and life. And if you want to do that, I'm going to pray in a moment. And I would say, you just pray this to your God. All right? Pray it to our Heavenly Father. And he will be with you. And so I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your heads in this time. And if today is your day and you need to take that step to flip the script of love in your life and start a relationship with him. I want you to pray this out to God, out loud. All right? You can say, God, thank you for sending your son Jesus and loving me so much to have him die on the cross for me, for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Please free me from anything that doesn't look like you. Free me from hate. Free me from brokenness. Free me from everything. Just heal me, God. I give you my life. I want to be your child, adopted into your family. Help me know and experience your love today. Jesus, be my Savior and Lord in my life. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, all of us, I just want to pray over you. God, as all of us have issues, we all have our own issues. Whatever you've spoken in this place this morning, help us receive it. Help us believe the truth that you've given us. And help us now do something with it. Whatever you're working is, help us act on it and change our lives because of it. That we would be able to experience love in relationships. So free us from whatever we need freed from. We hand it to you. And we're going to believe the best in you, God, that you have for us. Help us to believe the best in relationships around us and choose to trust. And it's in Christ's name we pray this. And if you agree, you can say amen. Amen.